No, I'm self-conscious about this because you're always one that's like, hi, Ian. And I hate this because we usually talk before you say it. And like out of nowhere, you're just like, hi, Ian. So hi, Shay.
Hey, Ian. And we have Brittany here. Hey, Brittany.
Hello.
Oh, hi, Brittany.
Hi. Hey. Hello.
Hi, everyone. So I guess I'll let everybody know. We are joined today by the amazing Brittany Brave. She is, I just learned this actually, apparently the world's best comedian. And we at like, wow, really the best. And she went absolutely. And I was like, does that upset other comedians? Like, did they not like it when you say that? And she was like, fuck them all. Like in a fight, I will kill them. I will roast any of them. Like I was a little surprised by this, but I mean, she seems very confident.
Right, right. I mean, George Carlin, Bill Burr, everybody,
amateurs.
Patrice O'Neill. Like just like take a backseat, please.
She showed us the dartboard in her room with all their faces. So,
right.
I mean, it was, yeah, really cool stuff. So anyway, we are very excited to have Brittany Brave on the show today, and she's going to teach us a little about tarot. But before we get into that, I've got a fun question for my co-host and our guest. Now, Brittany, I hope I'm not imagining this because I will look like a fucking ass. So I'm pretty sure that through some of your comedy, I've seen that you're Italian. Is this correct?
Very correct. Yes. Very
fucking
Italian.
Thank God. I thought you were going to be like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Like, I'm Japanese. How dare you?
Oh, my God. Italy, Japan.
Japan.
It's the same side in World War II. What's the difference?
Who wouldn't get them confused? Am I right? Yeah.
Italy is famous for its rice. All right. So...
Right.
She's looking at us like, oh, this is already
like,
going
we're
off
about
the rails.
To get canceled. That's what I try to do on every podcast that I go on. I'm like, let me be as flagrant unexpectedly as possible.
Well, then we have
like
a surprise for
Oprah.
You.
You're canceled. You're canceled.
That's actually my tagline. It's on my website. It says, hire me, book me. I am anti-woke Oprah. That's me.
Yeah. I guess you would be everything Oprah's not, right? Like a petite white woman who's like, I'm anti-Oprah.
I'm anti-Oprah.
It's me, bitches.
I also don't have her wealth. I can't just give out fucking cars to people. In a
Everybody look
audience.
Under your seats. I took your purses.
Oh my God.
I am anti-woke broke Oprah.
All right. So anyway. So
yes.
Now that we've got that out of our system. Brittany, since you're Italian and Shay, since you're a card carrying Satanist. Okay.
Okay.
And that's not even a gag. That's like a real thing. We can talk about it later. Mm-hmm. I want to ask you guys a little bit question, you know, Italian history, you know, Italian Catholics, they run the world over. It's the largest, voluntary diaspora. Okay. How many popes have there been?
Oh, so this is just a pop quiz. This isn't like
this is just a fucked up question. This is just
okay.
An awful.
Sure.
You haven't technically.
I will, whoever gets closest, you will be the winner.
Mm.
Okay, and you haven't technically laid a ground rule that we can't Google. I just want to say
No Google. Fuck no Googling.
You have to, clear communication is what makes the world go round. Okay? Mm. You never said we can't cheat, so, or use resources.
All right. Okay. So yeah, no cheating. And by the way, no Price is Right rules. So Brittany, if you say a number, mm-hmm. Shay, you can't say one lower or higher in the hopes of beating her. I want a real guess.
Why not? What if I have the same guess?
All right, if it's close, I'll let you do Jeopardy rules.
All right. This is like my worst nightmare because first off, my grandparents are going to be rolling in their graves over my lack of knowledge and familiarity with Catholicism in Italian culture.
I bet they didn't know how many popes there were. I think you're safe.
No, they did. No, they did. They were as Italian right off the boat, like... Very, very Italian. So my grandmother's going to be so disappointed. Something's going to fall on my head tonight.
All right, Brittany, I want you to go first. I'm going to use
no!
your guess.
No! I also, okay. You know what? I'll rise to the challenge, ladies first. I have no concept of time when it comes to things like this.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
How many popes were they?
Do you want me to give you like a roundabout date of like when they started having popes?
No,
sure.
No, cheating. Disagree. I'll tell you what. Brittany, I'll give you some help.
Okay.
Man, did you fucking Google it?
So wait
no,
a minute. Okay.
No, I'm just going to give her a number that she can use, you know,
fuck.
If she wants.
Okay.
So, all right. I would say maybe, you know, 400.
Okay. Well, that's what I was saying. I'm not that dumb. Okay. I'm not that dumb. I should
have
been.
Had one pope a year?
No. Okay. I'm like, I shouldn't have been doodling boys' names in my notebooks in class. I should have been paying attention to European history. Okay. I thought lower. I thought like.
I would go higher even.
No, you're trying to fuck me up. You're trying to trip me up.
I'm trying to help you out. You you're our him. Guest. I just met you.
I don't know if I can trust you. This is
I don't want
Zoom.
You to fail on my Cancel podcast. Him. I'd look like an asshole. I'm trying to help you out.
You think more.
You're about to get anti-Oprah, bitch.
500. Whatever. Fuck it. 500.
All right. I'm going to say.
Okay. I fall on this sword.
Are you really going 500
votes? She says 500.
No, I wanted to go more like 200.
Okay, go with 200, all right? Okay. Go with 200. 200. I'll help you a little bit. All right, 200 is better than 500. Right. Do you want 200 to be your final?
200 was my gut answer.
I'm going to throw like a few more numbers on there.
No,
or just stop
Ian, what are you doing? You are such a cheater,
Who's
Ian.
Who's going with an even 200 for popes?
What? What are you? You're just like, that's not exactly right. Do you want to try again?
Is he trying to tell me, like, bitch, you are stupid and that is wrong? Like, so try again.
Cheating,
right?
Is what he's doing.
Like,
he's
like a little kid that when they're spelling wrong and they're like, is that how we spell
exactly.
airplane? Is
he wants
it?
You to win. And I think that's bullshit. He's just so upset all the times that I've beat him.
Okay.
All right.
Okay,
right,
so guys,
don't bring me
into your drama, okay?
You're here.
Okay,
that's the only reason we brought you on.
To mediate.
Yeah.
Let's say like 200. I say like, okay, like 220.
Okay.
Whatever.
220. All right, Shay, what's your guess?
Locked in. All right, I'm going to say.
So embarrassing.
I'm going to say 46.
You're going to say 46 popes?
I'm going to say 60 popes.
I know
All
you
right,
were.
Brittany, you are the closest. You are the victor today. It is 260 popes. You heard it here, folks.
I was so
260 popes. Let's start the show.
Hey, thank you, Grandma, Nonna, Nonni.
Hello and welcome to Camp Reeducation, an immersive boot camp into the world we thought we knew. We are your hosts, Ian and Shay, and today we are joined by the marvelous Brittany Brave, and I guess so far we've just been talking about popes, but Brittany, that's not the reason we brought you on today. I know it sounds like we've spent a lot of time already on this pope question, but we actually have two more things to get to.
Okay.
We're really taking our sweet-ass time today, which I like. I'm all about it. I don't like that I lost, but I'm happy with this nonetheless. So Ian and I have another actual disagreement and that we want you to mediate. Ian sent me this meme.
Okay.
I don't know if it's
was,
a meme.
It wasn't
or was
a meme.
Tweet?
I was just like, I don't know. It was just like a tweet I saw when I was supposed to be working. I was like, fuck it. Yeah, I like this.
It happens. Yeah.
Yeah. And so he sent it to me. And I guess like without any more thought, he's like, this is an idea I agree with. Let me send it to Shay. And I first thought, okay, I'm not sure if I actually think this is... that cool. Anyway, so without any further ado, I'm going to read it
to you. I didn't say, well, this is the best fucking idea in the world. I went, I was like, I kind of agree with this.
And you know what? Brittany, I'm just curious, like, knowing you very little, I'm inclined to believe that you're going to agree with Ian, but I'll leave the door open for you to make the right decision and agree with me.
I was going to say you're leaning towards wanting me to agree with you. That's the vibe I'm getting.
Just saying. I mean, maybe I'm right here. I mean, again, in camp re-education history. So here we are. The quote is, if you aren't pissing like 30 to 50% of people off at any given moment, you're probably just parroting talking points in my experience. I've read that weird, but that's the gist. Like, so basically,
I don't remember him saying at any given moment. And I think at a first glance, it was like when you're making content. And I was like, okay, I think that's fair.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. By the way, when you first said pissing, I was like, if you aren't pissing on what?
Yeah.
And then that went in a completely different direction. Yeah. And I'm glad that it did. Sanitary
if you aren't
reasons.
Pissing on 30 to 50% of your lovers, are you even a lover?
Are you even have you ever tried foreplay? Oh, good. Thank God. If you aren't pissing like 30 to 50% of people off at any given time, you're probably just parroting talking points in my experience. First off, I have to call it out.
Not the grammar.
Your grammar.
Who cares? Who cares on social media?
I care. I will delete the tweet if there is a typo.
Boo, because you're Italian.
Down.
Ooh, boo. Grammar Mussolini's in the house.
Our Italians really notoriously known for having incredible grammar. I think that we're actually pretty. We're the people's people. Okay. We're real colloquial, if you know what I mean. Okay. You know what, Shay? I will give you this. I disagree with you, but kudos for reading me correctly in that I would agree with this tweet. As a comedian and as one would say purveyor of free speech and thought, some may say a jokey philosopher, maybe I say that. I do agree with this. I do.
Okay.
Can we ask you like why? Because I would like, now is the fun, like now you get to rub it in his face, which is like, yeah.
As to why? Yeah. So I, this is coming from, so I have, my entire background is like, so first off, I worked in PR and I worked in like corporate PR and like at record labels and marketing agencies and whatnot. And then I transitioned into having a career as like a comedian and a writer, right? Though comedy was always at my core. And I have learned as I've gone on now in stand-up comedy that the more commercial and the more mainstream you are, if you're making everybody happy, you are probably not saying anything. And I actually hold that belief to be very, very true as a comedian. I think clean comedy's fine and it has its time of day. I think a lot of things that are popular, popular doesn't mean bad. Popular doesn't mean talentless. But I think that a lot of people, like, because cancel culture and comedy is so intertwined that now as a comedian, it's kind of like, well, if you are pissing people off or if people are disagreeing with you and pushing back at what it is you're saying on stage and in your content, you can rest assured on one thing, you're saying something. You're taking a point of view, which is kind of like what my job is to do. So I do think that, like, we call them like hack comedians. You know, hacky is like a term in comedy. And I feel like you guys probably heard it too.
What does it mean?
Which is just people who just like talk about things that everybody talks about, but it doesn't really say anything. Mm. Like, hey, what's the deal with Subways? Huh, aren't they crazy? And everyone's like, who cares? Like, that's not a hot take. That's not... So as someone who is making ruffling feathers and also tickling feathers, her career and her life's
What's
journey.
What's the last one?
Tickling.
Tickling feathers.
Tickling.
So on a good night, I tickle feathers. On a bad night, I ruffle feathers. So, oh, okay. You know, it's a spectrum.
I'm imagining a feather, a long feather. I was like, tickling
what is
people.
This? Is this like an OnlyFans channel? Like,
yeah, listen, this pandemic's been rough. I'm an independent creator. Don't, no judgment. Come on. But I agree with that. I do agree that if you're not every now and again getting pushback, and if things are too easy for you, maybe you're not taking enough risks. Just going to put that out there, leave it on the table.
All right. Well, let me come. I want to come back at that point.
Please.
Because what
I love when
say,
a man comes back at me and disagrees with me.
You know what? Never mind. I'm done. Hey, it's great having you on board.
No, please tell me how my ideologies and opinions are wrong.
All right,
I want to hear it.
So I guess from what you're saying, it makes sense. Like, if you're trying to make something new, you're likely to offend or upset some people just because change is hard and people don't like change, which I agree with. Mm-hmm. But I also think that there's value, and I guess it depends like in exactly what field you're talking about, because I'm thinking of just like. Like, we're like comedy education, which is, means we're bad at both. So
everyone's bad at comedy.
I really like that tagline. Like, this idea, it's like, oh, it's okay, we're not super educational, we're comedy. It's like, oh, it's okay, we're not funny, we're educational.
Educational. Yeah. Yeah, we're a little bit of both and nothing at all. Here we are. Yeah.
Exactly. So, but I feel like disseminating a good idea has value to it. And disseminating a good idea doesn't necessarily involve pissing anyone off. Like, I think sometimes just being like, hey, actually, I don't know. black holes are like this. It's like, no. Some people might not get pissed off at that at all, but that doesn't mean that you're parroting talking points. You can be discovering something amazing, you know, in the world of science, I guess, or mathematics or business or, I don't know, some fields. And then I don't think it's actually problematic at all. And then I think that the people who are saying this are people who are probably proud racists, who is like the first person I imagine who is just like, the goddamn PC culture, you walk into a room, if you can't say the N-word 10 times, then what the hell are you even doing? You're not saying nothing. You know what I mean?
Women are so stupid when they get all angry about me calling them stupid. It's like, obviously you're stupid.
Yeah.
I can carry things that are heavier than you, so you're stupid. Yeah,
no, exactly. And then you're pissing off 30 to 50% of the people, but those are still talking points. You know, I feel like it's a cloak that people can use to spew hate.
Okay.
That's one concern I have. When I heard, after hearing you say it, you know, my I'm playing a little bit of devil's advocate here, if I'm being honest.
Okay, okay. So what you're saying is I'm changing minds and hearts on this podcast.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, thank you so much. I can't believe it's taken this long for me to get to this place.
That's why I'm here, smart man. Yeah.
Just to give it a little more context, too. I think, so recently Shay and I did an episode about QAnon, and I think we were kind of hitting all the same points, and I was just like, you know, are we saying anything that people don't already know? Like, is it going to be like, when are we going to get to a point where people are like, "Whoa, I never thought of it that way. That makes me a little uncomfortable, but fuck, maybe they're right." So it's like, I think sometimes I'll just stop us in the middle of what we're doing. I'm like, what are we saying right now? Like, is this of any relevance? And like, I definitely see some credence to Shay's point that like, yeah, sometimes like, you know, Freud did this. Like, fuck me. Like, everybody here comes to me, explore Freud. But no, like he, like literally, I think he worked on his fucking theory of the unconscious for like 30 fucking years or something. I mean, like literally, like he just unpacked the living shit out of it. And he just made it like better and better and better and better and better. We are not like that at all. That was not a good comparison.
Cool.
But at the same time, it's like, yeah, I think it's like a fine line, right? Because like in order to be good entertainment, like I do think there needs to be some sort of like shock value. I think that's the difference between, I mean, I'm not a comedian, but this is my interpretation of the difference between a good comedian and a bad comedian. It's like, you know, a good comedian will take you right up to maybe either side of the line of like going too far or like going just too far or almost going just too far. And a bad comedian goes either way over the fucking line or they don't go anywhere near it. And they're like, boy, some people like cats. And then it's like, what's up with dogs?
In that exact voice. Yeah, they're like, what's the deal with cell phones? And you're like, who cares? Yeah.
I just think of Jerry Seinfeld, like, why don't we get on the train so we can get off the train? Everyone's like, Jerry, he's saying the things we say.
Yeah. Yes. So if to jump in and Shay, when I heard your point, it also made me think, so like to dissect this tweet, this nugget of internet wisdom. Also, I think the intent here isn't like, I don't think the intent with comedy either is to piss people off. So I agree with you on that. Like, I feel like as if like, there's a lot of people who think that shock value is necessary to gaining the attention and the respect of a room. And I think you can also tell, like how you said, when a comedian is getting a little bit too close and or crossing the line and they're doing it just to like that's the only way they know how to elicit a reaction out of people, right? Like there's no thought currency behind it. It's just like, a lot of people think comedy is like saying all that crazy stuff that no one else wants to say. And it's like, sometimes it's not that crazy. It's just, you know, it's underneath. It's a little bit more concealed. So I don't agree with the pissing people off, but the way that this is current is that we do live in a very PC culture now where people go from zero to pissed off very quickly. So, and sometimes it's not necessarily warranted, that anger or being pissed off isn't the reaction even I as a comedian am trying to elicit. It's just, we do kind of, it is 2021 and we do have audiences that are like, I just hate that you said almond milk is better than soy milk. Like animals get getting this and that. And why are you still, Bob, how are you not vegan? What the fuck? How are you in Brooklyn and not vegan? And like all like, and you're just like, okay, wait a minute. So I don't know if this is making any sense, but it's like, I agree with like, I guess my point of view was not everyone's going to be your fan. Less the objective here is to piss people off and really hurt them or offend them, or more like finding your audience. And in order to find your audience and really build a genuine audience, that means not everyone's in it.
You know, it's funny because like I mentioned, like we consider ourselves somewhat of a comedy podcast, but we don't think about it at all, I feel like, the way you think about it. And well, I mean, we kind of do. I don't know. But hearing you put it out so, I don't know, elegantly is what I want to say. And now I feel kind of weird saying it. But
a woman's touch. A woman's finesse.
But why can't you put it out fucking awesomely? Like, whoa, bro.
Yeah, why can't I put it out like super penisly, man? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. So, yeah, hearing you put it out so penisly just really made me think.
Thank you.
You're right. That does feel better. Thank you for bringing me there. No, but I think you hit some good points.
This reminds me of in another episode. I think it was like the microdosing camp where we did acid for a month. We ended up talking about like Schopenhauer, and it was Schopenhauer, no, right? That's who it ended up being.
Schoenberg.
Oh, no, I did this thing. It was Schoenberg. God damn it.
Anyway, y'all did acid for a month and you can still hold a conversation and produce a podcast and make eye contact.
We did
That's
it for
insane.
The podcast. Yeah, oh. It was just like, hey, let's like, this will be fun content. And it
I
was.
Didn't even ask what the purposes were, whether I just was like, whoa. Wow, that's incredible. I wouldn't worry about what's in the COVID vaccine if you did acid for a month. I think you're Gucci. Yeah.
I think I'm pretty Gucci too. But I mean, I'll say this before we move on. It was the... Shay, who was it? Not Schopenhauer?
Schoenberg.
Schoenberg. Fuck me. It was Schoenberg. And he was the guy that said, if it's for all, it's not art. And if it's art, it's not for all. And I think like that's kind
I've
of
heard
the...
that. Yes.
Yeah, and like that's kind of the direction I like for the podcast. It's like, you know, it's not necessarily an acquired taste, but I mean, you know, it's like acquired enough. All right, but anyway, let's end that here because the reason we're all here today is to learn about tarot. Who does it? Why is it? What for?
What is it? Where does it come from? What are you going to teach us today, Brittany? I'm so excited to learn. I see you have this big old deck of cards here. Now, I know we did a little bit of research, and I have one question before we even start, and that is, how many cards are you holding right now?
So 72,
144. Wow. What?
144.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I have the Rider-Waite. So this is the pretty classic tarot deck, the Rider-Waite deck, and this is actually two decks in one. Okay. So yes. So,
what's the point
of
that?
Is the traditional, universally accepted main tarot deck, but I have two copies of it. So yeah, it's a chunk of cards right here.
Why would you have two decks put together? See, I'm like a total fucking ignoramus when it comes to this. I have no idea.
No worries.
Can I say my guess? Can I say my guess?
Absolutely.
because there's two of us today.
No, but. Right, one deck, I channeled the energy of one of you, one day I channeled the energy of the other. No, but that's a good enough guess. That's a numbers game, really. You're just trying to find parallels. I appreciate it. I actually have this together because I have a comedy show based on tarot. It's called Improvised Tarot Readings. It's wonderful. It's comedians' bullshit readings for the audience, but then we bring in an actual intuitive at the end to like give live tarot readings for people and help them through their problems in a positive way. So I have my own personal decks that vary from like themed tarot decks to animal spirit guide decks to oracle decks to stuff like that. Oracles and angel cards are other like derivatives of tarot too. But I'm a big believer in energy and in things like that. I'd like to think I'm a pretty intuitive person. So I usually keep these decks for performances because these decks are always subject to like the energy of like random people in the audience or over Zoom or stuff like that. And it's a pretty traditional neutral deck, if you will. And then I have my decks that are my decks that I like, you know, cry over and, you know, spray Palo Santo and ask the same questions.
So here's my question. Like you said something that like I immediately like latched onto and like I want to know more about. Like we are going in this totally blind. Like, is that what tarot is? It's just like, it's just energy picking the cards for the people. Like is.
Yes, it is. So it is, it's an intuitive spiritual practice. With the intent to like sharpen your own given intuition and also like look for clarity. The idea is that the cards have like mystifying elements attached to them. They're also connected to Greek mythology. They're also connected to astrology. Like each card is like dominated by an astrological sign and a zodiac sign, which probably isn't surprising that those two practices are pretty intertwined. But it was also played in like Europe. Like actually, I think my people, the Italians, were actually the first to come up with it.
I saw a lot of Italian names when I was like researching this. Like there was the Tarocco Bolognese, which sounds like a pasta dish. There was Tarot of Marseille, which actually that's French.
Right.
Never mind.
If you pull the fettuccine Alfredo, you know you're going to have a night. Right. But I do think, it is a European practice. I do think my people, the Italians, actually led the way with it. But I know there's German tarot, British tarot, French tarot, all that kind of stuff. It's kids used to play it as like a card game. So I know there's like gambling elements and like silly playful elements to it, but the idea is that it is like tied to Greek mythology, tied to astrology, and tied to like inner mysticism. To sound a little less hippy dippy, it's also a practice of like therapy and self-awareness and like all of that stuff too. Like if you're not on the side of it where you're like you really believe in intuition or you believe in vibrations and energy and like things like that, that's totally cool. Like not everyone's, you know, everyone spirituality differs. But it can also just be used as like a self-awareness practice, a way to, you know, something that can help you jumpstart journaling or asking it a question, and what you see in the cards is what you see in yourself.
Well, I like hearing all of this because the entire premise of what we try and do is test our preconceptions. And I think both of us come to these types of things, spirituality, energy, those kind of concepts that are, like you mentioned, are a little bit more like hippy dippy. We come to them as a skeptic. We're like, typically we're like, no, that's fucking bullshit. We hate this, like yada, yada. So here, so one, we try and challenge those preconceptions because, you know, fuck us. Like who do we think we are? But I do like hearing about this like therapy aspect. That's like actually like the thing that resonates with me a little bit more. I'm like, okay, well, actually, I can actually see how you can be like, okay, what does this mean to you? And then you imbue the meaning that you need to imbue in that moment onto whatever the fate, or, you know, I mean, maybe fate to some, but to me also just like, this means something, what does it mean? And then in that card, you can say like, okay, if I have to think now about this, I guess this comes out, and you know, it's really an internal working. Anyway, I'm talking so much, but I want to, that's what I'm thinking you're going to say. And
no,
I really 100%. Like the direction.
Yeah.
I like the direction that you're going with. So, just keep going.
Yeah. So a couple things. I think that tarot gets a bad rep and is wrapped in skepticism because I think that mainstream culture and media and everything, whenever people think of tarot, they think of a $5 psychic on the street in New York City who's like, I see into your future. Oh no, this card is bad. Bad things are coming. And it's like, yes, that's obviously like bullshit. And when you do go spend $5 or $10 with that kind of a psychic on the street in New York City, they are going to like, It's all shticks and tricks, and it's like very over the top and theatrical. So I can see why people are like, this is horseshit, right?
Right.
Absolutely. The hippy dippiest part of me is that I hate saying like, I believe in vibes and energy, because that's so like Gen Z TikTok to say. But I do think like, you know, the intentions you set out for yourself and your life come back to you. I think your mindset has its own vibrations. I think your attitude has its own vibrations. I don't think I can wake up one day and will myself to win the lottery. And if I do, I'm like, I knew it. My nipples were tingling. I knew today was my day. Like, you know, right? Like,
that's how I woke up today.
Right. Like, mine tingle all the time. I'm still so super broke. So clearly I'm not that hippy dippy. But so I think that I believe in using your human intuition. Let's just say that, which I think I would think most people can agree. Like, your gut can lead you into, your gut will tell you when something's amiss, your gut will tell you when something's a good opportunity. So I think that if you, the closer you can get in touch with that through self-awareness, therapy, journaling, whatever practice, meditation, whatever practices you gravitate towards, the more you're going to be able to channel and direct the energy in the deck. So healthy psychics say that, like, they're always like, well, the deck is in your hands. Like, you as a human being are present right now. Your reading is not going to be the same as the reading of the person next to you. It is a little bit like take fate into your own hands, and 100% like how you feel about the cards and how they, what they mean to you already is going to give you the answer. You know what I mean? Like if they're like, hey, you feel like as if there's something that's holding you back in life, someone can pull a card. Whatever it is you answer means whether you accepted it or not, you subconsciously know that this thing or this person is what's holding you back. If that makes any sense. Like, yeah. So it's a little part intuitive, but it's also like you probably already knew this stuff anyway. So it helps you to interpret yourself. Like,
so based on what I'm hearing you say, like you, for you, there's no, maybe, or maybe it's a percentage thing. Like how much of it for you is like mysticism in terms of like, I don't know, I guess we would call it maybe fate or destiny or, you know, cosmic forces, versus how much of it is literally just kind of like Jungian, archetypical, analytic psychology where it's just like, you know, I'm just basically like this is an inanimate object to which you are attaching a narrative, because you have like a psychic block and you can't be direct about like the things that are holding you back in life. So it's just like, yeah.
Yeah. I think it's probably like 60-40 at this point. It's probably like 60% a practice of my own self-reflection and 40% me channeling some other kind of like energy, intuitive practices, luck of the draw. Like, and I listen, like tarot gets a bad rep and all of these practices get like a bad rep for not being reliable or having any foundation. But like, how many times do you walk into like a casino and you just see people, you see people with all of their rituals, like scratching their hands or bringing their lucky rabbit's foot or like
rubbing their electric nipples.
Right, tingling their nipples or whatever. Or like somebody sits down at a table and somebody else freaks out like you're fucking with the energy of the table or something. Like, so, you know, nobody, like that's, it's the same principle. Like where like those people go and they play like, yes, maybe with their wits and their familiarity with the game and stuff like that. But they also play with this idea that like, no, I'm gambling today because I feel lucky. And they're whatever, however that manifests itself, they're channeling that like. So-
What was the 60-40 for you? It was like 60%.
I got it was like self-reflection, honestly. Okay. Like not looking like, oh, I pulled the death card like I just did. Like clearly, well, like whatever.
You just pulled that? Fuck.
I did. It's a beautiful card, actually. It's a really great card. And I actually think, ironically, it's very similar and running parallel to what's happening in America and the world right now. Because like, so this card, for instance, is like rebirth, transformation. Like things absolutely collapsing in the status quo with the intention of like the phoenix rising from the dust. So that's
well,
the
you heard
part.
It here first on Camp Re-Education from Brittany Brave. The world is ending. Okay, so
the world is ending.
Grab your provisions, head to your bunkers, and then when the city is raised to dust, come back out.
Maybe. Wait. Hopefully it's going to come back, you know, it's going to resuscitate itself. So yeah, 60% of it is not like I don't sit there and like rub my crystals and say my chance and be like, oh, death card, obviously I'm going to die. Like, you know, it's a little bit more like, okay, there's something plaguing me that I feel like I either need to channel my intuition or look inward for myself. And these cards are like functioning as a conduit for that. Less than like, I see your future. It's full of fortune. Like that shit's like, you know, it's the same thing with horoscopes. Like,
oh my God.
Zodiac is real, I think. People born around the same time exhibit the same traits. Horoscopes are not. Horoscopes that are like, tomorrow's your lucky day. I'm sure you're going to wake up and find new fortune. You're going
So your signs make sense, but your daily horoscope doesn't. Is that what you're saying?
That's my personal belief.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so it's just so funny because we're actually doing astrology as our next camp. We're doing that after we finish QAnon. So I think this will actually be a fantastic segue into that.
Yeah.
Speaking of fantastic segues, I have a question for you. are you going, so I don't know a lot about tarot. Like, can you do like a short tarot reading for us? Like, is that something?
I was actually going to ask, and Shay, I don't mean to like,
No, go for it.
I was going to ask if she could do a tarot reading for the podcast.
Ooh, I like that. Is that possible?
Yeah.
Brittany?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. How do we do it? Do we hold virtual hands?
Yeah, let's do.
Okay, all right.
Listen, you guys do whatever you need to do to get in the zone.
All right, Shay, let's touch virtual penises, okay? Under the table.
Please. Well, just I'll screen grab it really quickly. Okay.
Well, we can just put the picture up. It's fine.
Okay, let me. I'm actually just curious, not to backpedal a little bit, but do both of you know your zodiac signs?
Oh yeah. I know my Chinese one too. Just in case you need.
Do you know
that.
Yours too, Shay?
Yeah.
I'm curious if either of you are water signs and specifically Scorpios.
No, not me.
You can't see on the camera.
Really?
I don't know why I shook my head like a petulant child.
It's okay. You're like, no. Even people who aren't that into astrology, like if they got fucked over by a Sagittarius and someone's like, you're a Sagittarius, they're like, I fucking hate them. You know, like, yeah. You're like, okay.
All right. Well, actually, Brittany, I want to take this in another direction now. Now I want you to guess. That was your first guess. You know, I know you hate this. I'm so sorry. But you're on our podcast. It's our rules. What's my sign?
I actually think you guys might be air signs.
I don't think I'm an air sign.
One of you is a Gemini?
Making these fucking faces.
Shay, are you a Gemini?
I'm not a Gemini.
Aries?
I'm not an Aries.
Wow, I'm off. Okay.
I know you just met me too, so I'll give some leeway there.
Yeah. Ian, what do you consider to be your biggest weakness?
Ooh. Yeah. How come he got what's your sign and I got Ian, what's your biggest weakness?
Because I'm not batting 100 tonight or 1,000 or whatever I need to be batting.
All right. My biggest weakness is, oh God, my self-control. It's not great. Sorry, was I supposed to give a light, fun answer?
No, I'm just...
Oh, my destructive tendencies, you know.
My alcoholism, my
Ian,
addiction to drugs.
No, I'm a Gemini. When you were like, Cher, are you a Gemini?
I was
like,
oh! One of you was a Gemini. Damn. Okay. Now, Shay.
Yeah.
What do you think is, now for everyone listening who's like, this girl is bombing the astrological sign guessing game. This is a tarot episode. Just so
yeah,
you
I'm a little
know,
worried
so
about
different.
The podcast tarot reading now. I'm like,
I know. No, no, no.
It is, your death again.
Sagittarius?
No.
Fuck, I'm not. What's your sign?
I will tell you that I play this game often with people who are super into astrology, and most people don't get it. I never have people guess it on the first couple tries. I'm a Taurus.
Wow. No way. I wonder, do you know what your rising sign is and your moon sign is?
I don't, but I can tell you I was born at 6 p.m. in Plantation, Florida. So if anyone at home wants to do that and send it my way, you can give me all that information.
Yeah, well, that would mean that you are, that would mean like you're a Leo rising, which is maybe why I picked up on fire, I believe. Mm. We'll save that for your astrology episode.
All right, I love it. I'm so excited about it. Okay,
yeah,
so,
right?
So tarot.
Okay, so let's do a card reading. I can also explain afterwards what there's two. So the tarot decks, as I shuffle, are divided into major arcana and minor arcana. So ideally, the idea behind a tarot deck is that the major arcana is the story of the fool to the world. So that the story starts with the card zero, the fool, and it's everybody, not necessarily as babies, but at the beginning of their journey, wide-eyed and bushy-tailed, whatever that saying is, with the world at their feet, endless possibilities and anything can happen, and that they go through this journey of channeling their intuition. They come across the Empress, the Emperor, the Magician, the High Priestess. These are all major arcana characters. And then the last card in the deck is the world. And the world card is when everything settles. So the world card, if you pull that, is like, what should be
over.
Is what it is. You're reading, not even your reading's over, but if you pull the world card in any kind of reading, whatever you ask, it's like, what should be is what happened. And things worked out.
So
and
you start
fulfillment.
With the fool.
You start with the fool, which is a beautiful card too.
Literally, yeah. I my first note today was like, I know that there's a fool card and I don't want to draw it. And I find out it's that you have to. It's like the first one you draw.
It's not even like the first one you draw. It's that if you draw it, it just symbolizes like, naivety and naivete and new beginnings and the beginning of a new journey and things like that. And then the minor arcana break down the four elements, which are pentacles, cups, wands, and what am I forgetting? Pentacles, cups, and wands. Yeah, pentacles, cups, and wands, and swords. Sorry. Pentacles, cups, wands, and swords, which all represent the four elements in astrology. So earth signs, pentacles, cups are water. Swords are air,
pentacles.
And intellect, communication, and then wands are fire and passion. So fire signs.
So yeah. one of the things I really liked about this, and you kind of touched on it earlier too, is again, like I got really excited when I read about it online today, and they were just talking about all of this like Jungian archetypical symbology. Cause like, I actually think this shit is like cool.
Yeah. I think it's great. Yeah. Yeah, it's all archetypical, it's all symbolic, it's all that kind of stuff. And then like you go obviously in the minor arcana from one wand to like 10 wands, and then it kind of shows you how like passion and fire build out. Like whenever fire and passions and wands are weak, what they behave like and what those cards represent. And then once they reach the end of their minor arcana cycle, what it means when they're completely fulfilled and recognized too. So with that being said, well, I just wanted to give a little bit of like a brief intro with that. Let's just ask. So what do you want to know? With tarot, it works better when you ask, the more specific you get. So then you get less of like a hippy dippy, for lack of a better term, vague, what have you. So what do you want to know about the podcast specifically?
A quantifiable goal. I like that. Ian, what's a good one? I'm trying to think like how we ask for a goal that doesn't boast or gloat about how successful we've already been as a podcast.
Where to go from here? Honestly, I'm bored.
Right.
Yeah.
When will we get too bored of all of these riches and this fame? I'm not sure.
I know. As the best comedian in the world, like I said, better than George Carlin, Patrice O'Neill, Bill Burr, and all the greats. I agree.
Yes,
I'm like,
yes.
I'm so bored. Like, what's next, really?
Maybe when will we be rid of this existential ennui, and when will the real living begin?
Jesus Christ.
That's a deep one. Okay. How about we say this? Let's see. Let's look into the future of the podcast in 2021, meaning it's like growth.
The year to come for the podcast.
The year to come for the podcast.
I like that.
How is growth going to look? Is it going to take off? Are you guys going to have a dramatic falling out? Hopefully not. But like, what is the future of this podcast in a tangible sense, meaning its success and its growth?
I love this. Can we bring you on at the end of the year and then test everything? And
yeah. Again, I don't claim to be a psychic. I just Catholicism failed me as exhibited at the top of this podcast. So I'm into tarot now. But
hey, no backpedaling. You're in it now.
All right. Well, I say before we dive into this, we take a quick commercial break. So stay tuned and find out what happens when we return. Hey campers, in a rare moment of honesty, today's episode is actually brought to you by Real Things. A special thanks to our Patreon subscribers who make creating the show possible, and a special thanks to our two favorite subscribers and fans, people, whatever you want to call them, whoever you want to call them, Sarah and Shaylin. You rock, we love you, and as to everyone else, you could subscribe too. It's not hard. You just go to patreon.com/camperyeducation, give us $3 a month, and you get stickers, background goodies, backups, stick-ups, you know, really whatever you want. You tell us, we'll make it. Fuck it. We love you. Goodbye. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. When we left you at the edge of your seat, God knows it's where you live. Brittany Brave was going.
You should be comfortable sitting there. That's where you always are when you listen to this podcast. Anyways.
All right. Now that you're done doing whatever it is you had to do with your butt, Brittany Brave was going to read us the... we're going to find out and what's to come for you and us as a podcast. And, you know, our fandom and the dramatic romance that is, you know, gradually blossoming between Shay and I. So, Brittany, please, like, lead the way.
Okay. So we asked about the tangible future of the podcast, its success, its exposure, and its growth. I did have the Five of Swords jump out.
So what does that mean?
That traditionally means conflict. I'm not going to lie. Or...
Why would you lie to us?
That's true. I'm a nice psychic. No, I'm not a psychic. It means conflict, but it also... Okay, so an upside to this card is that it also means, like, the end of conflict. So, also, since it's swords, it can mean a vision for the podcast or maybe possibly miscommunication. Oh. So, I don't know. We'll pull more cards to get into this, but it either can mean maybe if the two of you had a miscommunication or just had different ideas about the forward progress of the podcast that's going to come to a halt and to a resolution. Or this could also mean, like, swords are also like communication and technology and stuff like that. So this could symbolize like anything logistically that's held you back is now over. So you're not quite out of the woods yet, since it's a five, and five is right in the middle of a minor arcana 10 card cycle. It's like your technical difficulties aren't over, but the light is near. But again, this just jumped out. So let me pull one more specifically about future security, trajectory, and success of the podcast in 2021. I will split the deck in half, pull a card straight from the top. Oh, great. Chariot.
Sounds good. What's that?
So, interestingly enough, these two cards being pulled. So the Chariot is the card of stability and direction. It is also, like, if you pull it at a love reading, it can also mean the relationship card. Literally,
if you're in a relationship.
Yeah.
Yes. Perfect. Also, not for nothing, but the Chariot is also, it's represented by Cancer and Taurus, and Shay is a Taurus, so that's interesting. Oh. I also wonder if the Five of Swords is Gemini, now I'm thinking, because swords are air signs, and I know I'm an Aquarius, so Seven of Swords is me, so Five of Swords may very well be Gemini. So Chariot is Cancer energy, Taurus energy. It's about being grounded and forward motion. So it's interesting because we literally asked about the direction of the podcast. But the Chariot also can very easily be swayed and thrown off balance on either side. Right? So I don't know your history. I don't want to get juicy. But if you guys have ever not seen eye to eye.
That's pretty much every episode.
Okay. Right. So, that's like, yeah, I guess that's like kind of at the heart of what the concept of the podcast is. But the Chariot in general means like forward motion, stable ground, and like achievement of a goal. It does, especially if like both sides can balance their energies and balance their points of view, which is what this would suggest. This kind of means conflict is over, or strife is over, or difficulties are over, however that is. I want to pull a card for your specific dynamic as co-hosts. Let's see.
I'm excited about this.
Me too.
Yeah, let's just see.
Is this going to say which one's better or like which one's like just overall right?
Do you want me to compare dick sizes? Is that what it is?
Like, no.
Shane and I have already done that.
That's just going to disappoint me.
Before we started the podcast, we're like, all right, we have to do this to know our dynamic.
That's it. We have to do this. We can't.
I got the new iPhone and it like measures things for you. So we just,
oh, it's beautiful. So you never have to, if a girl's like, I think it's, you're like, hey, I know exactly what it is.
I think it'd be a great moment for girls when like the iPhone can like heat sensor, you know, and then they can just kind of just like do that and be like, I'm not talking to that guy.
Yeah, that's true. That's another,
everyone a lot of trouble. I mean, it'll ruin a lot of guys' nights, but.
It would. I'm sure the iPhone 38 will have that once the technology keeps up. I'm sure.
We have the technology. I bet. I think we already have that technology. And I think some guys are stopping that from coming out anyway. Let's learn about this dynamic.
Okay. Dynamic between our two co-hosts. General dynamic between our two co-hosts. Again, I will split the deck in half, pull a card from the top. Oh, this is beautiful. Three of Pentacles. Cooperation, teamwork.
Oh, pentacles or
Pentacles.
Okay.
Testicles. Three of testicles. Together.
Sounds right.
Three testicles. No, I'm just kidding. So there's three of pentacles is, so pentacles all represent security, money, wealth, growth. And it's a very tactical card in terms of like building a proposal or starting a project. And the three is literally like collaboration, basically. So I think what it means, I don't know when you guys started the podcast. It's fairly,
almost a year now. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, the three is like early in the journey. It's not like complete financial and like project fulfillment. So it means like a step at a time. So this card also like kind of advises people to like literally put one foot in front of the other when making business decisions or project related decisions. It's also really interesting to me too, because like, especially with the Chariot, The two ways that the Chariot can be pulled and can fall off of balance also represent different energies. And I think this works to you guys' advantage, hence why we didn't pull the Chariot reversed. Because like you guys are very, you have an interesting dynamic and you have completely different but complementary energies as co-hosts.
Love that.
But Three of Pentacles is good. It's like, let's work together. Let's problem solve well together. It seems like it's a very symbiotic relationship. So maybe this like Five of Swords meant like, I don't know, did you struggle getting this off the ground, or did you guys talk about it for a while but like took a second to get around to it? I don't know.
Well, if I had to just like come up with an answer for what that would mean, I would say we did start it during the only pandemic I've ever known, so
probably
maybe we'll just blame that, you know, because once we started it, we hit the ground running, you know. The ground on the Chariot, you know.
Yeah, for sure. So that's, Chariot. I mean, this would be like a, we're not quite out of it yet, as evidently we're not out of this pandemic yet.
The Five of Swords.
The majority of the battle has been fought, kind of thing. But this is all good energy. Like the Chariot is literally like the long lasting fulfillment relationship card, the stability card, the seeing things through. But again, seeing things through, if we can keep that Chariot balanced.
I'm waiting for the other foot to drop. Like,
the other sword to drop. Yeah.
So how much? So just to check in, a mid tarot check in. How much longer is this?
Like the reading?
Yeah, like how long does a reading last?
Well, everybody, I mean, obviously psychics charge by like the minute. I know, you know, so that's, you know, it kind of depends on what your budget is. No, but
is there a sex one?
Like a sex card?
Yeah.
There's a lot of sex decks. Like very erotic, phallic decks, like you know, sexual decks, and there are certain cards that would imply like sexual energy more than others. Like the Empress means like fertility. The Six of Wands is usually either competition or it's like very potent sexual energy. The devil, the devil is like sexual energy, but like reckless, ooh, like one night stand energy, like sexual promiscuity, and maybe a little unhealthy. Yeah, yeah, usually. But also, again, it's like all about the context of the other cards. Okay, so let's see the world. Here we go. Split the deck in half. Oh, jumpy deck. Split the deck in half. Pull the top card. Woo! Justice.
Ooh, that's fun. Oh, it just says justice. It
does it? It's a okay. literal justice card. Yeah. Yeah.
That's yeah. fun.
Well, that works out. Well, here's my question.
Here first.
Justice for who?
Well,
lock her
here we go.
Up.
So this, is, so this is where you would draw more cards, essentially,
this is
right?
where I would draw more cards and also maybe drug myself.
Well,
and,
this seems like and, a good place as any to yeah. like end it. Before we find out justice for who, we'll find out so in the coming 2 weeks.
I will say this. Beautiful card. Truly. It's not like a justice and a like karma's coming back to bite you in the ass. Absolutely, this card comes. It is the card of like fairness, equality in love readings. It is the relationship card as well too. It's the work you put in is what you get out. Answers coming to you if you've waited on results for a task, if you think truth is being hidden from you, all of that kind of stuff. So kind of fucking weird, but like justice. Yeah.
All right. Well, you heard her, folks. Kind of fucking weird. And I think that's a good place as any to call for today. So, once again, thank you so much, Brittany, for coming on the show. Do you want to tell everybody where they can find you and your comedy and all that cool stuff?
Yes. I'm at Brittany Brave on Instagram, Britt Brave on Twitter. I'm on all the social medias and touring a little across Florida and doing a lot of stuff, a lot of virtual comedy. So let's be friends. Yeah. Yeah.
Perfect. Well, you can find her info in the description of today's episode. And if you can find it there, well, fuck you. All right.
All right. Suit yourself. That's it.
All right. Anti-Oprah, all right. Thank you so much for coming on. Shay, anything you'd like to add?
No, thanks so much, Brittany. I learned a lot, you know, kind of or whatever. But it was great having you on. And hopefully we'll see you at the end of the year to see just how well 2021 turned out.
Yeah, hopefully that justice card holds up.
Justice. All right. Bye, everyone.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode, and a special thanks to this week's very funny guest, Brittany Brave. To hear more great content, don't forget to join our Patreon and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Theme song written by Retrolux. Here at Camp, we love supporting music and the people who make it. If you want to hear some amazing music, please check out all of our featured artists on our Spotify playlists.
We hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we did. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and everywhere else. Stay tuned for next Camp, where we dive into the world of Crack for Jack. We never go home. We never go back to the crack of the bat. It's baseball. We're doing baseball.